back up in the book of Philippians. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Philippians. We started this series a couple of weeks ago, and then we had the conference last week, of course, and it's the only week we don't have services at Karen Orr. We shut down for the week, and as I said before, it's good to be back. It's good to be back in the rhythm of the week, and also just praising the Lord and taking our rest in Him today. What I want to do is continue on this theme of Philippians, what lies ahead, and we went through the first 11 verses 2 weeks ago. And if you didn't get the message, really the synopsis is we're looking in the book of Philippians at this glimpse of this congregation in Philippi. Philippi is in Europe, and it was actually the first European congregation ever, which is very interesting. It's said that Rob Shaul, the Apostle Paul, was wanting to go more towards Asia, and God seemed to direct him back the other way. And so he went to Philippi, and he started a congregation there. We talked about the formation of the congregation last week in Philippi. We talked about their struggles as a new congregation, same struggles that we have here at Karen Orr as a new congregation, and that many congregations have. But the letter is one of encouragement from Rav Shaul to them as they help establish their faith community. He's encouraging them. He's sharing with them. He's giving them wisdom and godly advice on how to come together as a congregation, on how to deal with things, but you know, and how to be joyful and how to have faith and all these really big concepts. And so we kind of gloss over the book of Philippians like, oh, that's nice and frilly and pretty. But it really is some fundamental stuff about faith. It's fundamental stuff about joy, and it's fundamental stuff about community. And we talked a lot about that last week. As we continue to establish our community, you know, we're still a young community here in the Savannah area, Karen Orr is. We haven't been around even for 2 years yet. Let's learn from this letter. Let's take this and say, you know, we're just like Philippi. We're starting out, we have our own struggles, and we need encouragement. We need to be encouraged ourselves. This letter shows us the amazing life we can have as followers of Yeshua, the amazing life that we can have in Yeshua. But it also shows us that sometimes the path of following Yeshua is a difficult one. It's a narrow one. It's a rocky one. It's difficult to go on. You know, Paul, Rav Shaul, their spiritual leader, was in chains, quote unquote. That meant that most likely he was under house arrest in Rome. You know, he always wanted to go to Rome. That was the place that he wanted to end up at. It was pretty much the furthest place from Jerusalem in the known world that he went on his missionary journeys. But also, Rome was the seat of the Roman Empire, which was the empire in the world. He wanted to go to Rome. There was a very well-established Jewish community in Rome. And there has been, even to this day, even though it's a lot smaller in Rome and places like Naples, there's still communities, just like there was back then. There's still Jewish communities in Italy. And he wanted to go there at the seat of the Roman Empire and preach to those Jewish people that were there in the far corners of the empire of the known world from Jerusalem, and also to all the unbelieving Gentiles that were there. He wanted to bring them into faith. That was part of his calling. So we need to see today that even in spite of the circumstances that we're under, you know, Rav Shaul was under chains. He was in bad circumstances. And today we need to see that the Lord can use all of our circumstances, good and bad, whatever situation that we're in, good and bad, for His glory, for the furtherance of the gospel. It's all about Yeshua. That's the message today. It's all about Yeshua and getting his message of salvation out. It was like that 2,000 years ago when Rav Shaul was preaching and trying to get the message out from his house in Rome, and it's like that today for us. It's all about Yeshua. It's all about getting the message of salvation out to the Jewish people and to the nations, just like it was for him 2,000 years ago. We can take that message that he gives verbatim. We can apply it to our lives today. That's the beauty of the Bible. That's the beauty of Scripture. It's just as relevant, as fresh, and as alive for us today as it was 2,000 years ago. So let's let the Ruach, the Spirit of the living God today, speak to us as we go through this letter, as we go through these words, and let us be encouraged today with what he is speaking through to the Philippians and to us. Today's text is going to be Philippians 1, verses 12 through 26. So again, you could take out your Bible. We're going to be going verse by verse through it today. So Rav Shaul's vision and his calling was to take the message of Yeshua to the nations. He primarily was the apostle or the disciple to the nations. He was to proclaim Yeshua, the long-awaited Messiah of Israel, the anointed one, spoken about through the prophets and even spoken about in the Torah. Yeshua is spoken about in the Torah. Finally, after all these years, and we're talking 2,000 years ago, Yeshua had come. He had finally come. Many saw it and many recognized Yeshua during his earthly ministry. And then in the years after his ascension, his death, resurrection, and ascension to heaven, there was many, many Jews that came to faith. Many Gentiles then started coming to faith. But this small band of disciples that was there, it was about 120 in number. They were in the upper room, as it's called, in Jerusalem. And they were waiting because Yeshua had ascended. But he had promised them, wait there for me, or wait there because the Comforter is going to come. You'll get direction on what to do. So they were being faithful. They were waiting. They were ready to receive from the Lord. Are we ready to receive from the Lord today? I want to be receiving from the Lord today. I'm ready. But they were there, the small band of followers. And we're a small congregation today. But I believe the Lord needed to do something big to get it started and amazing to get people's attention. And he did. What happened was obviously tongues of fire came down. This is Acts chapter 2, of course. Tongues of fire came down, descended on the believers. Jews from all over the world were there. They were actually there celebrating because it was a feast. It was a festival. It was a Jewish feast. Shavuot, first fruits. And it says in Deuteronomy 16:16, there's three feasts that Jewish men must go to Jerusalem for. Passover, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Those were the three feasts that Jewish men had to go. So there was Jews from all over the world. There was, of course, Jews from Israel, Jews from Jerusalem, but there was Jews from Greece. There was Jews from Rome and Italy. There was Jews from Asia, Jews from Africa. They were there from all over the world in Jerusalem. And I believe God wanted to do something big to kick things off. When he brought down the Ruach, when he gave the Comforter that was promised, and the tongues of fire came down, of course, what happened? They started speaking in other languages. They started miraculously speaking in the language of the Greeks, of the Asian people that were there, of the African people that were there. Because Jews, there was more Jews outside of Israel than inside of Israel since the Babylonian exile up until almost present day now. Certainly at Yeshua's time, the majority of the Jewish people were outside of Israel. And of course, in the diaspora where they were, they spoke the language of those countries. They had to trade with Gentiles. They had to live their lives. So they were speaking not only Aramaic and Hebrew, but they were speaking Greek. They were speaking Italian. They were speaking all these languages in Africa and Asia. And what did they hear? They heard from this small band of disciples, 120 of them, who were Jewish from the Galilee and from Israel, who only spoke Aramaic, primarily in Hebrew, speaking in all these languages. It was a supernatural occurrence. And then they saw the tongues of fire. And what happened? We know that 3,000 people became believers that day. It was a powerful event. God had to do something powerful. And then the ministry quickly spread, right? And the disciples, they took the message of Yeshua out to the known world. Some disciples went over to Asia. Some disciples went to Africa. Some disciples went to Europe. Of course, we know that Timothy was in Asia Minor. And we know that Philippi was established in Europe, just on the shores of Europe there. So the ministry quickly spread. Yaakov, James was the leader. Yeshua's brother was the leader of the flagship congregation in Jerusalem. And all these other disciples were going around the world. And Shaul, the Apostle Paul, his calling was to bring the good news of Yeshua to all the nations around there, and primarily the Gentiles. Of course, he first went to the Jewish people, then to the Gentiles. It says in Romans chapter 1, to the Jew first and then the Gentile. So he would go to every city, and he would go to the Jewish synagogue, and he would preach there, and he would reason with the Jewish people and explain Yeshua the Messiah through the Torah and through the prophets. And those that listened became believers, and those that didn't usually kicked him out of the synagogue. And then he went out of the synagogue and he went to the squares and he preached to the Gentiles. Well, in Philippi, there was no Jewish synagogue because there wasn't enough Jews. So he went down by the water and he preached there. And we know that one of the ladies there was the first congregant of Philippi. And she let them stay in her house, and it spread from there. So we know that he was the apostle to the nations, and he was taking these things to the nations. And that's how he came upon Philippi, and that's how this congregation started. It was at the time of the writing to the letter of the Philippians that Paul was in these chains. So this is later on in his ministry life. He was in chains, probably in Rome, waiting to go before Caesar. Commentators and scholars think that at this point in Shaul's life and ministry, he was under house arrest in Rome, and he was waiting to go and be called. So he was there for a couple of years, actually. And the fact that he was confined to his home is a bit of a problem, isn't it? Because he's supposed to be the one to take the message of Yeshua to Rome, to all these places. He finally gets to Rome, right? He goes all the way to Rome where he wanted to be, and what happened? He's under house arrest. He can't go out, and he can't preach in Rome. To the synagogues, in the squares. This was a major problem. And you know, it wouldn't have been so much of a problem today, right? If he was sitting there in Rome, he could just get on the internet, right? He could just send some emails. He could just get on Facebook and post a selfie of himself in his house. Hey, look at me. I'm in my PJs. And talk about the message of Yeshua. But he couldn't do that. There was no internet. There was no Facebook. You know what? There wasn't even telephones. He couldn't pick up the phone and call somebody and say, okay, get everybody together. Let's get on the phone and put me on speaker. And we're gonna have a service here, and I'm going to explain Yeshua to you guys. He couldn't even do that. The technology wasn't even there for that. For much of human history, the way to communicate was one way, really, when you weren't there physically, was letters. So he sent this letter to the Philippians. He sent letters, and we have most of the letters preserved in the New Testament, the Brit Chadashah. So he couldn't go out there and do the one thing that he wanted to do. This seems like a real problem for him. This was his ministry, and he couldn't go out. He was confined to his house. He had to rely on the mail carriers. He could even go into the Roman squares and preach. He was certainly chained in many, many ways. And by logical standards, even for that day, he was very constricted from getting his message out. So it's all the more amazing when we pick up with our scriptures today. Let's go to verse 12 in Philippians chapter 1. And this is what he says, knowing what we just talked about. But I want you to know, brethren, he's talking to the Philippians, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. That doesn't make any sense. Let's read on, verse 13. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Messiah. Shaul still had something very, very powerful. He didn't have the ability to go and do what he was called to do, which was go out to the squares, which was go to the synagogues, which was to stand up and proclaim Yeshua. He didn't have that ability, but he had something very powerful. More powerful than any word or speech could give. He had his witness. He had his witness, his life witness. What is a witness? A witness is a message about you, about your life, about the way you carry yourself, what you say and do. You know, he had a reputation because he was preaching for many, many years in different places. He did reach Rome. People could come to his house and listen to him. Probably not, you know, hundreds of people at a time. They probably wouldn't have let that happen. But he had his witness, and that was far more powerful than anything else he could have had. People saw the witness of Shaul when he was in chains under arrest that he could still be joyful.
that he could still effectively preach the message of Yeshua. How many of us, when something even small happens to us, with our planned ministry, with our planned message, with our planned path that we have on, something small happens and we get totally derailed? Did it sound like Paul was totally derailed? It didn't sound like that to me when we read the scripture. And it could be anything. You know, my big toe hurts. I can't go out today and preach. I have a stomach ache. I can't be effective in my ministry. I have problems in my life. I can't go to synagogue on Saturday morning and be a witness to people. You don't even have to come and do work at the synagogue. Sometimes just showing up is an effective ministry. Did you know that? By being here, by being faithful to your congregation, by serving in whatever capacity, you're being a witness, just as Paul was a witness. Rob Schell was a witness. Philippians 1:14, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to spread the word without fear. Isn't that amazing? Because of his chains, because he couldn't get out, the word was still going out because of his witness, because of people seeing him being joyful in the midst of these circumstances, because people listening to him when they came to his house, even in the small way that he could do it, his witness carried farther than his words could. And because of that witness, he was able to speak into other people's life and give them boldness to speak the word without fear. You know, you always hear it. You're effective by yourself in the Lord. You can reach people. But if you have 12 disciples, they can reach even more people that you could never reach. We all try to do everything ourselves all the time. You ever try to do everything yourself and you just get burnt out, whether it's at work or in your ministry? I'm just giving all I can, Lord. I've done everything I could. I've reached as many people as I could. Well, if you had 12 people that you had raised up, they could go out and do it. This is the rabbi disciple model. The rabbi would take disciples. And if you were picked to be the rabbi's disciple, this was a big deal. Your parents sent you out. They were all excited because they knew you were going to study the rabbi. You were going to study his mannerisms. You were going to, of course, listen to his words and his actions and what he did. But you were looking at his witness. And then you became a rabbi. So now you have 13 rabbis instead of one. And those rabbis collected disciples. And then they would see the witness of the rabbi. And they would go out. This is how the word spread. Paul, Shaul, was one man. But his chains constricted him. But that didn't matter because he was able to, through his witness, make other disciples. And they became leaders. And they went out that were not in chains. This is how the witness of Paul was effective and how the message of Yeshua spread even when Paul was in chains and how he could still have joy, how he could be effective in his message as a witness. Our witness is powerful. We may not think we're significant, but people are watching us. People are watching you. The unbelieving world is watching, Karen Orr. Jewish people in this community are watching. Orthodox people are watching us. I'm telling you. I know it. I hear the stories. I know people are out there watching us. They're checking us out. They're checking out our witness. Are we going to have a joyful witness? Are we going to proclaim the Lord even when our circumstances are one of difficulty? Can we be a source of encouragement today as Paul was an encouragement to the Philippians? Can we be a source of encouragement and not discouragement? We need to be an effective witness. That's the first point today, that our circumstances will reveal Yeshua. Your circumstances will reveal Yeshua to people. Oh, I can't get out of bed. I'm sick. Or, oh, I can't go and do the work I needed to do downtown. Or, oh, I can't go to synagogue or whatever it is. Your witness carries a lot more weight than your words will ever carry. And our circumstances will reveal Yeshua. Are we going to reveal the Yeshua that's full of joy and the life we can have in Yeshua that's full of joy and peace and rest? Are we showing, are we revealing the Yeshua that is above problems and issues, that can turn the other cheek, that can maintain joy in the face of tragedy? Or do we reveal a Yeshua that is weak, that is not able to stand even with the slightest of winds and waves? Can we reveal Do we reveal that Yeshua, unfortunately, sometimes? Let's let our circumstances, both good and bad, reveal Yeshua, the one true King, the salvation of the world, who brings peace and joy and comfort to all who are mourning today. Philippians 1:15. Some indeed preach Messiah even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Messiah from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. Talking about Shaul. But the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. You know, I really love to dig into the scripture sometimes like this, particularly the letters, because it's so apparent, so clear, because of passages like this. Shaul was real. He was a real person. He was a real man. He was really not perfect. And he got angry sometimes. He was misunderstood many times. And he had struggles, just like we do. In our ministries, in our lives, we have struggles, just like he had struggles. We can relate to this guy. We may not be in chains in our homes, but we can relate to him. This passage brings up a very real problem that was going on at the time that he wrote this. There were people taking the message of Yeshua to the world with sincere, godly motives. Amen for that. They had died to themselves. They were focused on glorifying Yeshua above all. They had the right agenda. Do we have the right agenda today? Those people had the right agenda. But then there were the other people that had their own agenda. Maybe they had a bone to pick with Shaul. Well, he's grumpy. Or he doesn't like me because he didn't come and say hello to me when he visited my congregation. Or he did this or he's that. So he had his critics too. Maybe they didn't agree with his tactics. You know, Shaul was one of these. I envision this guy as like a shorter guy, all right? And I envision him as kind of walking, almost like a Martin Luther type in a way, walking around, probably not saying the right things all the time, and getting people a little bit ticked off sometimes because he's so in your face. You know, he was like type A. We know what his former job was before he became a believer, and that was basically coordinating the killing of believers, right? We know he was a passionate guy. And because of that passion, maybe he got himself into trouble sometimes. He was not perfect. And maybe he had some critics. Oh, you're not speaking with the love of the Lord, Shaul. Can you imagine somebody saying that 2,000 years ago to him? Maybe they thought he abandoned his Judaism, which he did not. There are people like this today, are they not? Are there not people that are out there proclaiming the name of Yeshua, but they don't have sincere motives? We get so upset, and rightly so, when we see these preachers on TV asking us for money, and then we see them in some crazy scandal, and we're like, ugh, that's a horrible witness. And it is. It's a horrible witness. We say to ourselves, or at least I say to myself, maybe you do, that's a terrible witness. They're doing such damage to the kingdom of God. Because people were relying on them, their very words, and then they see them sin so greatly. And I get discouraged and I get upset about it. And look, they led people to stumble. We get upset just like Shaul got upset, I think, 2,000 years ago, about these people that didn't seem to have sincere motives, but they were preaching Yeshua. Well, let's continue on. Philippians 1:18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Messiah is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Wow, I didn't expect him to say that, you know? That's the thing. I didn't expect that to come out of his mouth next, or written on the letter. This guy who was the apostle, who was like one of the head dudes over the whole thing. When people were talking bad about him, what was he saying? You know what? I don't care. As long as the Messiah Yeshua is proclaimed. That's what's important. It's not about me. It's not about me looking good. It's about Yeshua looking good. It's about Yeshua being proclaimed. What Shaul was saying, in spite of their best efforts to thwart the message or to pervert the message or to trash Shaul, in spite of their best efforts, the message of Yeshua is still going out. Man cannot interfere with the powerful, effective work of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Listen, there was probably a lot of preachers over the last 20 or 30 years on TV that really screwed up. I mean, we can list them, right? But We will never know how many people came to know Yeshua through that, through that ministry before they fell. You know, how many people came to faith through watching it on TV? How many people came to faith through reading something on the internet, and then in their lives they ran with that? Now, whatever happened to the preacher or the messenger is one thing, because we are all flawed. But the thing is, Yeshua was shown, Yeshua was proclaimed, and the message went out regardless. And what he's saying is, listen, it doesn't matter. Forget if they're calling you names. Forget if you're not at peace with everybody. Forget if things aren't rosy in the believing world, because let me tell you, they're not. How many denominations do we have? Let me tell you, there's disagreements even between the rabbis and in the messianic movement on things. But we proclaim Yeshua. And I would hope that all of us have the joy of Yeshua and the love of Yeshua carries and binds us together. And I think it does with the rabbis. But you know, there's going to be people that are going to come against you in your life. You're not doing this, you're not doing that. But that are preaching the word of God. Let them preach the word of God. Don't worry about you. Let them preach the word of God. Shaul wasn't worried about him. He was worried about the message of Yeshua going out. God can use even the most evil people in the world to get the message of Yeshua. And we see that throughout history. God chose and used Pharaoh. All the evil he tried to do against the Jewish people and all the evil he did before and after, for good and bad, God used Pharaoh. He did use Pharaoh. Look at Joseph's brothers. They sold him into slavery. Certainly bad intentions. Certainly they didn't really want him to do well. And here's what Joseph said about that. Genesis 50, verse 20, part of our Torah portion. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Listen, there's people with evil motives. There's people that do things against the Lord and against you. But first of all, we know in Romans 8:28 that God has it for good for us. That's a given. But his brothers meant evil against him, but God meant it for good. God can take the most evil situation, the most evil person, and use it for good. You know, you think about the greatest example of this, which is the Holocaust. The horrors of the Holocaust, ultimately, right after the Holocaust, what happened? The state of Israel happened. God can use even terrible situations to ultimately bring about good. And I'm not saying the Holocaust was great and all this stuff. It was horrible. It was terrible. But it precipitated the land of Israel. It precipitated the intense longing and need of our people to go back to a homeland. Because, and we know this, is that unfortunately, you know, Jewish people have been all around the world, strangers in strange lands, right? And the German Jews and the Jews in Poland, they were very much assimilated, just like many other cultures, just many other Jewish people all throughout history. And the last thing they wanted was to go to Israel. Well, unfortunately, the Holocaust happened. It was terrible. But through that, many Jewish people, not even in Europe, but all over the world, were like, became Zionistic and wanted to go back to the land and wanted to return to God's land, the land that he gave our people. So even in the worst of intentions, God can bring it about for good. God will not let any man in speech and deed thwart what he is working to accomplish. God can make a donkey speak. He can make a king act like an animal, Nebuchadnezzar, and it will all work for the glory of God. We may not understand it or see it at the time, but it will work for the glory of God and the advancement of the kingdom of God. God is in control. And sometimes, you know, we forget that when we see people doing stuff and it looks like they're working against the kingdom or they're doing this. Listen, God sees that. He allows it to happen for a time. And God has a plan. And he will accomplish that plan. He can use Pharaoh. He can use Joseph's brothers. He can use Balaam. He can use Nebuchadnezzar. And he can use anybody else to accomplish his purposes. And he has and he will. We need to be focused on our message. And here's the bottom line, really, for us. We believers spend way too much time worrying about the rest of the world. worrying about the bad messages, criticizing fellow believers, criticizing the world. And listen, I'm the first one that sometimes I see what's going on in the news and I'm like, that's ridiculous, that's wrong, that's terrible. I'm not saying don't say that. What this world is doing is evil. What this world is doing is wrong. The things that are happening in our country, the things that are happening in all countries. But our mission is not to be the Holy Spirit to everybody. It's not to walk around and say, you know, you're doing that wrong. Just want to tell you, in the Lord. You know, that's not our message. Our message is not that. You're not to be the Holy Spirit to everybody. Let me tell you what God said you should be doing. And also, don't misunderstand me. We are to judge fellow believers. Okay? We're not to judge the world. Scripture is clear on this. I don't have the passage, but we're not supposed to judge unbelievers. Why? They're not even believers yet. They're doing what they're doing because they're in sin, because they haven't accepted Yeshua, because they are doing what unbelievers do. But those of us in the kingdom of God, those of us that are believers, we have an obligation in love to point things out. Now, that doesn't mean you go to people and you say what you're doing is wrong and criticizing people. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. Focus not on that. Focus on the message of Yeshua. Focus on getting the message out, however, and focus on being a good witness. So number one, point number one today, your circumstances will reveal Yeshua. And point number two, all things work to reveal Yeshua. They work, good and bad. God is bringing everything together. He's orchestrating this entire thing called life for the last thousands of years for the good of the kingdom. One day we will see it. We don't see it now. All we see is problems in the world. But God can see bigger than that. And God can see past that. God can see past the problems in our lives and the chains that we're under. And he can see the last point that I want to talk about. Our problems will turn into our deliverance. Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. This is Paul Shaul talking. Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Yeshua the Messiah, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Messiah will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Messiah, and to die is gain. Shaul had a singular vision to see the message of Yeshua furthered. He did that in all areas of his life. He wanted to be the best witness he could be for Yeshua. He was continually dying to the flesh. He knew he had issues. We all have issues. He was working on them. He was constantly looking towards Yeshua, not on himself so much. No matter what. And he says something very profound and very difficult that I want to talk about today. For to me, to live is Messiah and to die is gain. What does that mean? Shaul was torn between a couple of things in his life. Continuing his mission in life, continuing to share the Messiah with the Philippians, with other people, Jew and Gentile. And the conflicting part was he also longed to be with the Messiah. He loved Yeshua so much, he wanted to be with him. He was looking forward to being with Yeshua, to living with Yeshua. It's a very similar longing for us when we say sometimes we are praying for the return of Messiah Yeshua. We long to see the day that the kingdom is established on this earth. It's the same kind of concept. We long to be with Messiah, to be away from this pain of this world and with the Messiah. Listen to the description of how things will be when the Messiah Yeshua is ruling and reigning one day. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. This is powerful, and this is amazing one day this will be. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and he shall be his people, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and will be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Now that's pretty amazing, pretty awesome scripture. But can we really imagine a world without war? You know, there's been war from the time of the beginning of the world until now. Can we really imagine a world without pain or sickness, without hunger, without poverty, without suffering? This description we just read is heaven. This is the kingdom of God. We can't even fathom how awesome it will be. Why can't we fathom it? Because all around us is pain and misery and suffering and problems and issues and not getting along with people and this and that and the other. We can't even fathom how awesome this will be. The closest thing to me, this is my take on this, the closest thing to me is probably that feeling that you have when you're a kid. You know, when you don't have any cares in the world, there's no mortgage, there's no rent, there's no car payment, there's no job. No spouse or kids, even though they're a blessing. Got to say that. Love you, honey, and you kids. When there's no worrying about getting good grades in school, worrying about where you're going to go live, what you're going to do. When you're a kid, you're just hanging out with your toys, right? It's like the best feeling. Can you just, even though some of you are a little older than me, even though I'm getting older now, think back to your childhood. Think back before all these problems that you had. This is the one thing I think I can think back on and kind of get a picture of heaven, okay? When you're a kid and you're just hanging out, that is like the best feeling. That's as close as being in heaven. So I want to just share with you. So this week, this is an amazing week for many people in the world because Star Wars came out, right? And we had to wait for many, many years for the next Star Wars movie. And as a Generation Xer, which I am, I remember being a kid when the first trilogy came out. And I see, this is crazy. I want you to just stay with me for a second on this. This is how I can relate this to heaven. I remember how awesome it was when I went to go see Return of the Jedi with my family as a little boy in the theaters. It wasn't just I remember seeing it in the theaters. I remember the restaurant that we went to before the movie. My parents are going to say, oh my gosh, you remember that? I remember the restaurant we went. It was some Asian restaurant. I don't remember the name. I remember, this is crazy, I was 9 years old. I had this pineapple drink. Do you guys remember this? I had this pineapple drink with this straw. And I remember how awesome it was that I was drinking a pineapple. You know, I thought that was really cool at 9 years old. And then I went to go see the movie. I remember where the restaurant was. I remember where the theater was. This was in New York, right, where we lived in New York. I remember where the theater was. I remember the line to the theater to see Return of the Jedi. And of course, I remember how cool the movie was. I mean, some say it was the best Star Wars movie, but I think it was Empire Strikes Back. So, anyway, I mean, I remember this vividly. And this was when I was 9 years old. I'm 41, 32 years ago. How vivid and awesome will heaven be? I mean, just think about that. I had this memory, and it's that vivid because that was just a time of just no problems, no cares. It was as close to what I think heaven is. Can you imagine living like that forever with the Lord? Can you imagine the joy you're going to have like a little child? How awesome is that going to be? This is what Shaul was talking about when he said, to die is to gain. He was waiting for that. No more chains. No more Caesar. No more shipwrecks. You know, he was on a shipwreck. No more people with ulterior motives trashing his name. No more hurt or pain or sickness, and no more thorn in his side, whatever that was. Philippians 1:22-24. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Messiah, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Shaul knew that his time was not yet there. He knew he was not ready to die. He just knew it. He still had work to do. He still had a message to get out. He still had a witness to be. For however long he had left in the world, he knew he was going to make the most of it for Yeshua and for the furtherance of the gospel, to encourage the Philippians, to encourage the Romans, to encourage all these congregations that he had started something in, that he had given the name, the message of Yeshua to. Last scripture, Philippians 1:25-26. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Yeshua the Messiah by my coming to you again. Look, our problems will turn into our deliverance. If you are going through persecution, if you are sick, if you are hurting, many people are sick now at this time of year, it's only temporary. I'm going to share with you something that I've felt for some time, and I've wanted to somehow put this in a message, and it just wasn't the right time. It's the right time now. I want to just share with you. These are just something I've been thinking about for a long time. I am thankful. This sounds weird. I am thankful for my shortcomings. I am thankful for my issues. And that may not sound right to you, but here's the thing. If I didn't have those thorns in my side, if I didn't have those trials, if I didn't have those problems, I know myself, I would get puffed up. I would think I was something great. I would start thinking I was all that, and I'm not. But those problems, those shortcomings, those issues, they show me, they point me to the need that I have for Messiah Yeshua. I would never feel that need if I didn't feel the pain that I'm going through. Whatever that pain is, whether it's issues or problems or sickness or whatever, your shortcomings point you. Problems in this world, the evil in this world, points people to Yeshua the Messiah. So, you know what? It's okay. It's okay that we don't live in heaven right now, because I need a little bit of reality to point me towards the Messiah sometimes. I know that with my mind and my heart, the heart is deceitful above all things, Scripture says. You know, and this whole thing in the world about, oh, you just got to be a good person, that's like the antithesis of what we're supposed to teach. We're not good people. We're fallen, we're sinful, we're prideful, we have problems. I know it because I live it. You know it if you're honest with yourself, because you live it. When things are going great, we tend to sit back and we tend to forget about the Lord. But when things are not going so great, we tend to cling to the Lord where we wouldn't cling to Him if everything was going great. But all these things in the world other than Yeshua, material things, relationships, even relationships with family and friends, they will fade. Here today, gone tomorrow. But Yeshua is closer than a brother. Yeshua will never leave me. Yeshua will not tell me I'm not good enough, that I'm not cool enough to hang out with Him. I need Yeshua, and I know that He will never let me down. That's the thing. I'm thankful that I have problems that point me to Yeshua, and that Yeshua, once I'm pointed to Yeshua, He will never let me down, the way other people may let me down and may let you down. But my issues, my problems, and my circumstances point me back to Him. And my issues will eventually become my deliverance, which is pointing me towards Yeshua. So today we all have problems and circumstances. We all have these thorns in our side. Maybe we're not under house arrest, but we have these issues. Every one of us. I don't care who you are. What are we doing about it? Do we seek peace through things of the world? Do we seek peace through drugs or money or sex or fame or material objects? Do we seek peace through anything besides Yeshua the Messiah? Shaul was trying to say to us, to say to the Philippians, listen, it's all about Yeshua. It's not about how fancy your car is. It's not about how effectively you preach. It's not about my ministry. It's about Yeshua. It's not about Karen Orr. It's about Yeshua. And it's not about you and me. It's about Yeshua. You get what the purpose of the thought here? It's about Yeshua, proclaiming the name of Yeshua. Let's tap into that. Let's get on board. That train is going towards heaven. I want to be on board that train. All the other trains are, you know, the train that goes to material things, the train that goes to, you know, drugs, the train that goes to other things in this world besides Yeshua, that's going to dead end somewhere. But the train going to Yeshua is going to end up at that place we described before, where there's no suffering, where there's no pain, where there's only kid-like joy. I want to be on that train. The question is, are you on the train today? Are you there? Do you have that joy even in the most horrible of circumstances? Can you say that, you know, like Shaul said, my joy is complete now. I'm talking to you. We're having a great time. Even though he's in chains, can we say this? That's the key for us today. That's the message, I think, that's really ringing out loud and clear to me about Philippians, this part of chapter 1, is that in spite of all these circumstances, Are you going to reveal the risen Yeshua? It's all about Yeshua. Are you going to reveal the Yeshua that's the Yeshua in the Torah? That's the Yeshua in the prophets? That's the Yeshua in the Gospels? You know, the one who I'm talking about that gives a peace that goes beyond all the world's peace? Or are you going to reveal the Yeshua that gets tired? Or that forgets about people sometimes? Or that only likes you when you're popular? You know, you have to catch what I'm saying here. The Yeshua we want to show, even in chains, is the Yeshua that loves us, that will never leave us or forsake us, that cares for us, and that is there for us always. That's the Yeshua we need to proclaim through our shortcomings, through our issues. That's the revealed Yeshua we need to show, because you know what? It's all about Yeshua. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that it's all about you and not about us. Lord, if it was about me, I'd screw it up. If it was about being cool, I would mess up. If it was about being successful, I would fall. And the first time I would fall, it would have crumbled. I'm not interested in building my kingdom, Lord. I'm interested in building your kingdom. May we all say that today. Lord, we're not interested in building our kingdoms, which will never be anything in this world. But we're interested in building your kingdom. Even with the best intentions, Lord, we can only go so far. But Lord, carry us the rest of the way. Carry your message, Lord. Some of us will never go to the far reaches of the world and proclaim Yeshua. But our influence, our witness of you, can spread to the farthest corners of the world. We may not know it, Lord, when we're being a living witness. Sometimes there's no words. It's just deeds. Sometimes it's just people seeing something different in our lives. No matter what we say or do, we could be sitting there and people could see something different. Lord, help us to reveal you, the one true God, the Yeshua that came 2,000 years ago, the Yeshua that is from Genesis chapter 1 through the end of Revelation, the Yeshua that saves, that delivers, that redeems. You are our Redeemer today, and it's all about you. Lord, I pray that everyone here, that you would help everyone here to remember that no matter good or bad circumstances they are going through, that they need to reveal the living Yeshua, salvation. We thank you, Lord God. Touch each and every one of us today on this last Shabbat of the year. Lord, touch our congregation, not for our sake, not for success's sake, but for your sake, for the glory of Yeshua. For you, Lord God, that your name may be proclaimed through these walls, out to Savannah and beyond, Lord God. Let the name of Yeshua bring deliverance and be glorified. We thank you, Lord God. And we lift our lives up to you today. It's all about Yeshua. Lord, it's all about you. And we thank you. And we praise you. And we glorify you. Hallelujah. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.